Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, software engineer and creation speaker.
And Real Science Radio strolls down memory lane with Skull 1470.
Skull 1470. And this is the thing that involves all these independent dating methods that converge on this one really old date.
Yeah, this radiometric dating of this hominid fossil, this skull, that looks pretty human. Doesn't look like Australopithecine.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like Lucy.
It's too modern looking.
It's not a little tiny ape like Lucy. And so what's with the radiometric dating then?
Well, they found it in an area, in something that they had radiometrically dated. They had already done this before, and it was like, what was it, 210 million years?
Yeah, well, about 220 plus or minus 10 million years. Close enough for government work.
Yeah.
So, and this is all these results are published in the journal Nature.
So men did walk with dinosaurs.
It must be, right? Because they found stone tools, and they found Skull 1470's head, well, the skull,
yeah,
in this strata that's below this volcanic ash layer, as we covered last week. Last week was the part one of this hysterical, historical, radiometric dating saga.
That's right. And, you know, we're supposed to have a common ancestor with chimps that goes back about 6 million years.
Yeah.
So finding this skull, it's supposed to be, you know, if it's going to fit their timeline, it has to fit within that, at least within that 6 million years. So right out of the gate, we're at 220 million years, plus or minus 10 million.
Yeah, so the scientist who published in the journal Nature, this all happened in the 1970s pretty much, they said, you know, we know something's real wrong here. So even though we're using this radiometric dating that is supposed to be precision dating of things that happened millions of years ago.
Yeah, because evolutionists will tell you that all the time.
Yes.
You know, it's precise.
Right,
it's,
and it confirms the theory of evolution because the radiometric dating.
There's no contingencies.
It's independent in its confirmation. So anyway, the authors Fitch and Miller, and we might reference Fitch now and then, Fitch and Miller say, well, we know there's a problem, you know, because the fossils that are being found in this strata layer don't fit this age of the dinosaurs. This would be the Triassic period of the Mesozoic era. This is early in dinosaur times, so you just can't have that early date with modern mammal fossils showing up.
That's right.
And then they found Skull 1470. Then it was really a disaster.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because they've got this volcanic fallout, right, that we call a tuff.
Yes.
So they date this layer of tuff. And they had dated this before. And so they had a date for this. And now they find this skull. And it's not where it's supposed to be. It's too modern looking for where they found it.
You know
in
how
this
the
layer.
Evolutionists say if the Bible is true and there was a global flood, why don't we find human fossils? And one reason is every time we find a human fossil, they discard it.
Yeah.
Or they reject it.
Or they try to turn it into a chimp. Or they destroy it.
Or they say it was a chimp. Or they mess with the dating. Like this could be a 220 million year old human fossil. But oh no, it can't be because that doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit
with
their
theory
paradigm.
Of evolution.
Yep.
So then they realize, well, we got to redate this volcanic ash layer. Because then everything under it, and things older than it too, if we go from 220 million years down to 2 or 3 million years, then everything would fit better.
Yeah. So they got to get this thing down to below 3 million years, right?
Yes. But how do you do that? Well, when they realized their dates didn't fit well with the theory of evolution, this Fitch and Miller, they did write in the journal Nature that it was clear that they had extraneous argon. Now, potassium argon dating, Fred, maybe we should describe that briefly.
Sure.
Potassium argon, there's a half-life of about 1.25 billion years. So what do they mean, potassium argon dating?
So potassium will decay over time into argon. It's radioactive. And so the half-life you mentioned, that's how long it takes for half of the potassium to be turned into argon. So after that period of time, you'll have half potassium and half argon.
And then another 1.25 billion years, then half of the remaining potassium.
Yeah. So you'll be down to
a quarter. Potassium 40, a certain flavor of these elements. Potassium 40 would become argon 40.
Yeah. But if you had excess argon from the beginning, that's one of their excuses they use.
Yeah.
That means that, hey, this thing was already giving an implied too old of an age.
Yeah. So they said, well, there must be too much argon. Well, how would they know?
Exactly.
If this rock came from somewhere else where they had what they would consider early dinosaur fossils in the strata, they would say this is the perfect age.
Yeah. They have to have a perfectly closed system for this to work over millions of years. So when Stephen Meyer wrote his book, Doubting Darwin, he basically, in one of the sentences in that book, he said that there were no contingencies with radiometric dating.
Oh,
I'm paraphrasing a little bit.
Yeah.
But Dr.
Jay Weil, who's a homeschool textbook author, got his PhD in nuclear chemistry. He read that quote.
He read that quote, and we played his reaction last week on the show, and he just laughs when he reads it because it's so not true. There's so many contingencies
it's
built
so
in.
It's so naive to think that radiometric dating is some kind of an objective system.
Exactly.
It's so naive. It's unbelievable. All you have to read is the journal Nature to see the absurdity and how malleable it is. You could stretch it to anything you want to do to get it to agree with the theory of evolution.
And this appendix in Bones of Contention by Dr. Lubinow really shows just how contingent these dating methods really are.
Yeah, so we're going through the appendix of Dr. Marvin Lubinow's fabulous book, The Bones of Contention. And in here, he documents the dating game, the history of the dating of Skull 1470, which the discoverer, Richard Leakey, said, well, either you throw out the theory of evolution or you throw out this skull.
Yeah.
Because this skull is old, and it shows that all your fossils, all those hominid fossils, they're all incorrect.
And that was his pet discovery. He's not going to let go of it. You know, he's going to find a solution.
So as we continue through the history then of these events, the dating of Skull 1470, you come to the next stage where these same scientists, now they're publishing in the same journal, over the next period of years, and Fred, this is what they said, we have to figure out which parts of these specimens are original and not contaminated, and which parts have too much argon. And so they throw out, it's called selection bias. I mean, it's a form of, it's a logical fallacy on the surface. They throw out all the parts of the rocks that give old dates, and they pick the parts that give young dates.
Yeah, they're artificial selection.
It's
is what they use.
Just hysterical.
And they pick what's going to be convenient.
So they end up with a date of 2.6 million years. That's a lot more comfortable for evolution. Turns out it's still a huge problem.
Yeah.
Because it's still too old to have a modern-looking skull.
Yeah.
Way too old.
And they called this thing accurately dated and securely dated at 2.6 million years.
And so this is published in the journal Nature. And then the history of it is funny because then Princeton University gets in the mix and they publish in 1972. They published a chronology of fossils. You have vertebrates, mammals, like elephants and pigs. And they say, look here, we could see that from these two kinds of animals that they were evolving during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe the evolution of the pigs and the elephants will help us figure out how old this strata really is. I thought they knew how old the strata was.
Yeah. Why are they using fossils now to determine the age of the rocks?
Yeah, I thought the age of the rocks told you how old the fossils are.
And this guy here, Vincent Maglio, who did this study, we're going to talk about him more later. We kind of mentioned him last show. So he did this study, and guess what? The dates converged in real close to that 2.6 million years.
2.6.
So they've got a second independent, totally separate from radiometric dating that's confirming this date.
Of 2.6 million years.
Yep.
So then there's now a third party coming into the mix, also published in the journal Nature. And this is from the University of Nairobi in Kenya and the University of California in Berkeley. And Fred, they did something different. They used a paleomagnetism study of the sediments below this volcanic ash layer, and they tested 247 samples. And this is what they published. An age of 2.7 to 3 million years for this group is strongly indicated.
That's right. And, you know, what they said was it represented a bullseye for the correlation of the various dating methods.
Yeah, so now they have these other scientists who were at 220 million. They came in at 2.6 million. And now this study, a very different study, says, hey, we think it's around 2.7 million, maybe that young, maybe up to 3 million, but look how close it is to the 2.6 million.
Yeah, that's right.
So in fact, evolution really was a good guide, because here's an independent study confirming it's around.
Yeah, the third independent study. In fact, they said this. This independent evidence greatly strengthens our proposed chronology.
Yes.
Greatly strengthens.
Right. But then they did make an admission, these scientists from Nairobi, Kenya, and Berkeley. In their paper, they said, well, the correlations between our study and the previous studies, they're not fully independent, and they rely partly on the potassium-argon date results. The starting point, this is their writing, the starting point for the correlation is the age of 2.6 million years old obtained by Fitch and Miller. It's supposed to be independent.
Yeah, but they had a starting point.
Fred, this continues throughout the whole saga.
Mm-hmm.
They claim that we have an independent test confirming the date that evolution needs. And then they put in their footnotes, in the fine print, they say, by the way, this isn't totally
fully independent. Yeah.
We've begun with the assumption of the previous paper. And they kept doing that. And the mainstream media, like if you got it from, say, Lawrence Krauss or from the Discovery Channel or Nova or something, you would hear in an independent test, they confirmed the date. They knew how old Skull 1470 was.
Well, the saga goes on. So same year, 1974, at the University of London, they attempted to date the same, you know, the same tough. And they used another method. They used fission track dating, which involves uranium.
So fission track dating, maybe we could describe that for a moment. You described potassium argon dating, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long does it take? Because the nucleus is unstable and it will decay, radioactive decay. How long will it take potassium to decay into argon? Well, then there's also argon-argon dating. Because there's different flavors of elements, depending on how many neutrons they have, typically. And so argon 40 to argon 39, that has a similar half-life, like 1.25 billion years. They use that as independent mm-hmm. measures. Well, this fission track dating, this is different. This is where they say, well, you start with uranium, and it decays, and it has its decay chain through these different elements. And as it's decaying, it has certain events that happen. You've heard of alpha decay mm-hmm. and beta and gamma decay. Well, a beta decay event is just shooting out an electron.
Yep.
So a neutron decays and it shoots out an electron. That doesn't make all that much of an impact. But an alpha decay, that's a big nucleus typically shooting out two protons and two neutrons all at once as a unit. That's like a nucleus of a helium atom.
Mm-hmm.
And so that could cause some damage. So this fission track dating is where they look at these expected decay events and they look for the damage
yep.
that was left over. Indeed, this is a different kind of test.
It is a different kind of test. And they zeroed in pretty close to the 2.6 million years. So this is test number four.
So they have now, with fission track dating, they have yet another independent correlation that they really, and this comes from the University of London, Birkbeck College, they pretty much know how old this strata is, and therefore they know how old Skull 1470 is.
Yeah. Okay, so the saga continues. We now have a fifth independent dating method. And now this is from those same Fitch and Miller characters. This is late in 1974. They redid their test. They did a revised study. And guess what? They confirmed their original date of 2.6 million years.
So they're digging in And Fred, we now have 5 different kinds of tests confirming about 2.6 million years, maybe up to 3 million.
Yeah, and in this study, they said that the compatibility of independent evidence is a very strong argument for the dates that they're getting for this skull 1470.
Yeah, very strong. And to be as accurate as we can be, this strata has been dated now 5 different times by 4 different dating
by
methods.
By 4 different dating methods. But there's still this huge problem. And what's the problem? Skull 1470 is too modern looking to be in strata that is 2.6 million years old.
Right. Because you have to throw out Lucy and you have to throw out all these hominids because they're supposedly on the way to modern man, but you have something that looks awfully like modern man a million years before all those things.
Yeah. And so this is where Richard Leakey said, this is his precise quote, either we toss out this skull or we toss out our theories of early man.
Yes. So that was the problem that they had to deal with. And so there was pressure then. Pressure came in onto the paleontology community and the archaeologists because they found tools, human-made tools, and just generally on the theory of evolution, tremendous pressure. And so they figured out, well, what we need to do is start all over.
Yeah.
Let's keep testing these things. Let's keep dating, and maybe we could come up with a date that's going to work better.
Yeah. And so what Lubinow points out is they felt like really it boiled down to 3 things that they could do. The date for the skull could be revised. You know, that's option 1.
Make it even younger.
Yeah, make it younger.
We went from 220 million years to 2.6.
Yeah.
But just change it again. Make it younger.
Yeah. Or assign the skull to be in the older group of skulls.
In other words, it doesn't look like modern human. It's just older.
Yeah.
Because we say it is.
Yeah. So Dr. Lubinow points out there's several escape mechanisms for them. One, they could just redate the skull. They could come up with a new date.
Just say it's younger.
Yeah. Say it's younger.
Then all these 5.
Or just reassign it to an older class of skulls.
It's more like an ape.
Yeah.
It's just an ape.
Yeah.
Right.
And
so,
he said basically that's both of those things is basically what happened. But they actually will settle in on the former. You know, that they're going to redate this thing, which is going to blow all this independent dating stuff, you know, out of the air.
So we've been talking about Fitch and Miller. Now enters the scientist named Curtis from the University of California. And he and his team, they said that they were able to determine that it was not just one volcanic ash layer that they had been focused on, but it was different layers. In fact, they took ash from 3 separate areas of that one tuff, and they said they claimed to distinguish 2 ash layers instead of 1. And the dates of the 2 were 1.6 million years, the one, and the other was 1.8 million years. And now these dates are way younger. We're talking only like 2.5 million years. So if you go from 2.6 to 1.6 with precision radiometric dating, that's a big difference.
Yeah. So this is where they're doing option number 1. They're trying to redate this thing. Because if they can get this thing down to 1.6, then you're in the ballpark of where they think this skull 1470 should lie.
Exactly. So this was published, of course. And this is what they said about the earlier results of Fitch and Miller. They said contamination.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
For all the efforts, all those 5 studies, they all must have been using contaminated rocks.
Yeah. And so back to Stephen Meyer's quote that there's no contingencies in dating. Come on.
Right, right.
There's lots of them.
220 million, 2.6 million, now 1.6 million. And so how did they know that the older dates were the ones that were contaminated? Maybe their younger rocks were contaminated.
Yeah. They don't know, but they're doing this selective process that we talked about earlier. They're going to try to get this thing to fit their worldview. That's what we're seeing.
Exactly. All of those dating efforts that we've just described, they all appeared as peer-reviewed papers in the world's leading science journal. And so it turns out that they begin acknowledging, in fact, from the very beginning, Fred, in their papers, they're acknowledging that there's really a wide spread of possible dates you can get. And it becomes very obvious that what they're using is circular reasoning. They're just throwing out some data because it doesn't fit the conclusion that they're driving toward.
That's right. There's one particular animal that's going to come to the rescue for them, their rescue animal.
Mm. Because Curtis writes about, well, the elephants and the pigs.
Yeah.
Right? And this is funny. It's like it's in science fiction. Well, it is science fiction.
Yeah.
It's in the journal Nature. This author, Curtis, and his team from University of California, Berkeley, they say, you know, previously scientists have found elephant fossils that fit with the date of about 2.5 million years. I thought it was 2.6 million, but anyway,
yeah,
close enough for government work. 2.5 million years. But other scientists have pointed out that there are fossil pigs below this volcanic ash layer, and they seem to correlate better with our results.
Yeah.
So you could see that they're starting to side with the pigs. And eventually the pigs are going to win out.
That's right. In fact, this Vincent Maglio, who we mentioned earlier, he was a elephant proponent. And, you know,
yeah.
Dr. Lubinow mentions that
What would you side with, elephants or pigs?
Yeah,
I mean, pigs taste better than elephants.
Yeah.
But come on, you'd side with the elephants.
Yeah, elephants just sound cool, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because Lubinow says that the pigs ultimately win. And so Vincent Maglio, who is a proponent for the elephants, he actually left geology and then went to study medicine.
Yeah, right.
Which was a much better choice, you know.
So yes.
He went from science fiction to actually something that's useful to people,
yeah,
you know,
right.
Doctors. We need doctors.
Yes. So the Berkeley team, they said, the reason we know the younger date is right is not only the pigs, but we have this confirmation between multiple disciplines. So we know the younger date is right. How could they write that, Fred, without pointing out that the earlier dates use the same exact defense? We know this is right because of the confirmation of multiple independent dating techniques. So then you got October 1976, the journal Nature, not one but two different dating projects for this volcanic ash layer that's used to determine how old is Skull 1470. And these two methods agreed on the older date, which is really funny.
It is, because doesn't that get us to like seven methods now?
Well, yeah, oh, good point, because they keep doing these new studies. And this is, again, Fitch and Miller, Cambridge University. They recalculated the results of their earlier work where they were coming in like 2.6 million years. And they said, you know what? We need to give a revised estimate of 2.4 million years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they gave a little.
Yeah.
You got to
compromise
when there's a big disagreement, right? And they claim that there's close correlation of, again, different radiometric techniques. And so now they are very confident in their revised results of 2.4 million years. Very confident.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, as Dr. Lubinow points out, this is where they all pretty much are openly admitting that there's some craziness going on here, that they have to solve this problem.
It's not like this was in a secret.
Yeah.
Or in a,
this is a raging debate.
Room.
Yeah.
And so here's what they write, Fitch and Miller. They say, you know, opposition to the acceptance of a 2.5 million year age. What 2.5? It was 2.6 million.
Yeah.
It was 2.20, then 2.6. Now suddenly it's 2.5. What's
yeah.
with that?
Yeah.
But anyway, they say opposition to the 2.5 million year age comes from archaeologists and paleoanthropologists who are disturbed by hominid fossils and stone tools. Well, disturbed, that's a real scientific term.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
We see that all the time. That's fun. And they say, and the opposition comes from misfits. You know, there are elephant fossils and pig fossils, and they call them misfits. They're not fitting with our dating. And there's a potassium-argon study at Berkeley, and they don't like our results either.
Yeah. Yep.
So
that's why they're disturbed. Instead of intrigued or more, that's about science, but
more scientific.
This is emotional.
They're disturbed.
This is religious. They're disturbed.
Right. And so, of course, the Berkeley guys, Curtis et al., they're saying, no, it's like 1.6 to 1.8 million years old.
Yeah. Fully aware that that's going to rescue Skull 1470.
Right. So Fitch and Miller, they say, and this is all in the journal Nature, they point out that when Berkeley gets an age of 1.6 million years old, They say that age is discrepant.
And let me guess why.
Why?
Argon loss.
Right. The argon that they're testing, they say they're losing argon. They're picking samples that lost argon. So it gained argon, it lost argon.
Favorite rescue device.
It's this
argon loss.
It's the selection bias.
It's the Calvinist using anthropomorphism.
you're funny, Brad. It's just you pick whatever data you want to pick. You throw out the data that doesn't work. And so, Fred, this goes on, and we're almost out of time, but you get then eventually to 1976, again in the journal Nature by the University of Melbourne, scientists there, and scientists at USGS, the U.S. Geological Survey, right here in Denver, where, by the way, there's a geologist, Fred. I think you know him. We shouldn't give his name on the air, but he works for USGS. He's a strong Christian. And he's a young earth creationist.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he comes to our monthly meetings, Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship. Well, they do another study and they say, look, we've tested over 100 rock samples from East Rudolph, the lake there where they found Skull 1470. And the interpretation of the ages has not been straightforward. They acknowledge that.
Yeah.
And they say that's because there are geological factors and there are other analytical factors that are used to interpret the data and that explain the scatter. And there's that word scatter. And when they talk about scatter, Fred, the truth is that they got dates all over the map,
yeah,
from 500,000 years to 6 million years, 8 million to 220 million
scatter's
years.
Scatter's an appropriate word to be part of this discussion, but not like maybe they'd want it to be used. But yeah, they're scatterbrained all over the place.
Yes. And then you go to, Fred, 1977, another issue of the journal Nature, and a scientist from the Max Planck Institute in West Germany. And he says, you know, there's uncertainty as to this fission dating technique. And it turns out that there are different values you could use for something as simple as uranium-238 decay, a certain constant. So there are two values you can use to get the older date or the younger date.
Yeah, so they're going to debate on this constant value, and guess which one they're going to choose? They're going to selectively pick the one that gets this Skull 1470
as young
to
as
the younger
possible.
Date.
Exactly. So then also in 1977, there's a new study on paleomagnetism, and it goes on and on until you end up with, as Marvin Lubinow points out, the power of the pigs.
The power of the pigs. And what's funny here is, you know, you got your pig proponents because they want this to be a younger skull. And so one guy showed up with a pig-proof helmet.
This is at a conference on anthropology and geology in London. And so these scientists, literally the guy comes with a helmet and it says pig-proof.
And another guy had a tie with MCP on it, which stood for male chauvinist pig.
Male chauvinist pig. And so the question is, who's going to win? You know, the elephants or the pigs? And eventually the pigs won out.
Yeah.
And so they said, we know how old Skull 1470 is based on pig evolution.
Yeah, pig evolution, because the pigs, their dates that they had established for the pig evolution matched the dates they wanted it to match. So the fossils really did date
the rock
or the, you know, the tuff that had the skull in it.
Ash
instead
layer.
Of picking door B that had, you know, the different date that had an elephant on it.
Right.
But Bob, I think you and I both agree they should have picked door C that has Noah on it.
The catastrophe of the global flood.
And this guy, this Skull 1470, hopefully.
He died maybe 5,000 years ago.
Yeah, in the flood.
Not 1.6 million. Not 2.6 million.
I was going to say, hopefully he's a Christian, but you know what? I don't know. You know, a lot of judgment in that flood. We'll find out. But
yeah,
this
right.
is a guy that got buried about 5,000 years ago. That's the correct answer.
Yeah. And I'd call him a believer in the God of Adam.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, good point.
But yeah, hopefully he did humble himself. But not likely if you play the odds, right?
Yeah.
So, Fred, the pigs, they said, well, we know when the pigs evolved. They had about 20 species of pigs.
Mm-hmm.
The evidence for some of them was extremely tenuous. The skimpiest of evidence, like some teeth, a few teeth, and okay, we know this is this species of pig.
Yeah.
Well, how do you know whether that species of pig evolved from this one or into that one? Because their diagrams show them all as separate lineages.
It's not science. It's wild imagination. And, you know, we had the famous Nebraska Man debacle where, you know, a single pig tooth, they use that to form Nebraska Man and his wife and, you know, yes, a whole bunch of stuff. And then they found out later that tooth was really an extinct, guess what? Pig.
Pig. It was Nebraska Man was all built based on a pig. His family relationships, his civilization, the tools he made, all from the tooth of a pig.
Nebraska Man was a pig.
Was a pig. So, Fred, the paper that they base the dating of skull 1470 on with that points to the pigs, here are quotes from the paper on the evolution of the pigs. All right. These are just phrases, but it shows how extreme uncertainty was the rule. They said, this species is probably ancestral to that one.
Probably.
This fossil seems to represent. This fossil suggests that this may have evolved independently. At this stage, this pig species must have given rise to this other one. This is probably ancestral too. This fossil suggests a derivation from. This fossil may have branched off from that fossil.
Probably seems to suggest, may
almost
have.
Almost certainly branched off from. This fossil demands a descendant from a common ancestor.
It demands it.
They're just making it all up.
They are.
The pig evolution. Yep. And they threw out all the radiometric dating, basically, all the independent tests to go with the pigs.
Yeah. So next time an evolutionist tells you that, you know, this date is well established by multiple independent dating methods,
just laugh.
Yeah, just laugh. And, you know, you can go to Leuvenau's, the appendix in his book, Bones of Contention. We've actually covered other examples on our show of other independent studies. And then guess what? They find something later that doesn't fit. Right. So that those independent methods that converged all of a sudden get torn apart again.
Yes.
A big nuclear reaction just rips them apart.
Yes.
And
just remember Dr. J. Lyle, PhD in nuclear chemistry, chuckling.
Yeah.
At Stephen Meyer's claim in his book, Darwin's Doubt, that radiometric dating doesn't have any kinds of assumptions or other factors. It's just straightforward science.
Yeah. And then, hey, we got a great show on the origin of radioactivity and how, you know, rapid radioactivity can occur.
Yes.
That's another thing that's a contingency. You have to have a constant decay rate. So, but we know that's not true.
That's not true. People could, if they're interested, rsr.org/radioactivity. The origin of Earth's radioactivity, what a fascinating, fascinating theory with tremendous evidence.
Well, get the hydroplate video because you've got a section on that.
That's right.
Highly recommend it.
The Our hydroplate video, The Global Flood and the Hydroplate Theory.
And you can get that at realscienceradio.com in the bookstore.
Click on the store, or you could download it immediately and start enjoying it today.
Yes.
It's really fun. Fred, we just had, five minutes before the show, I was told that someone downloaded our flood video from England and is undoubtedly enjoying it and watching it right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
So praise God for our ability
Very well done video.
To reach out to so many people with the evidence of God, the confirming evidence to the scriptures that God created us.
It's overwhelming evidence so that nobody will be
without excuse.
That's right.
And that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sin and was raised from the dead, that if we trust in him, we could have everlasting life. Thank you, Fred Williams.
Thanks, Bob. This is fun.
All right. This is Bob and here, Fred Williams for Real Science Radio, our website, rsr.org. Please shop at the store. That'll help us financially to stay on the air. Or you could even make a donation, a one-time or a monthly subscribe to our videos, our Bible studies, or even an automatic monthly donation. It would help so much. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.